Well, good morning to each one of you. It's good to be with you, and to also welcome to our visitors. It's nice to have you here, and trust that we are our worship together will be a benefit to you as well. And I do greet you in Jesus' name. This is His church, the body of Christ, the assembly of the saints. And so we gather under that banner. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. I'm just going to take you to my theme verse. I had a lot of verses to choose from. I chose this one early on, and we'll just come back to it now. But of him, chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I pondered a lot over, I was split sort of three ways on a sermon, and I ended up going with the fourth. So my wife tells me that when she would hear a sermon title like this when she was young, she would just sort of groan and maybe close the notebook or something like that. I may have embellished that, but I'm sorry. The doctrine of sanctification is what I would like to think about this morning. And I want to try to make this in fact, my burden is to the young, but it is to us all. Of course, we need this reminder. And Brother Wynn, I want to thank you for your devotional. I scribbled some notes at the top of the page. What I was thinking about, not a list of ideas or teachings, I think you said that, but relationship. And this morning, the doctrine is a body of teaching. It's instruction about sanctification. So how do we put those together? Well, the point is, it's not just about a list of things. It's about truth to help us to understand what I really think the core of sanctification is relationship. This is about coming much nearer to God, getting much closer to Christ and His will for our lives, and allowing the Spirit of God to really speak to us. And that is the core of relationship as you think about between us and God. But it's all based on truth. I'm not going to come up here this morning and produce some kind of psychology from the deepness of my understanding to convince you that this is the way you get closer to Almighty God. But rather, we have a book. This book has a lot of truth in it, has a lot of teaching in it. And so we want to look at the body of teaching that is going to help us, I believe, understand sanctification. One of those big words, sort of big like justification. To be justified. That is a very deep one, but it's very simple in that Christ, through Christ Jesus, we are justified, made just is that root word. And so that's not the subject. But this sanctification, what does it mean? Well, there's a couple of levels to this, and we won't explore all of them, but the one meaning of sanctification is this thought: purification, purity, holiness. Sanctification has that thought. And so to me, sometimes we put these two words together. We say progressive sanctification. Oh, is that biblical? Well, if you look at these definitions, purification, purity, and holiness, it does have a progressive flow to it. It does have an action that progresses. Sanctification, purification. So that's part of it. One writer said it this way: moral renovation and growth, as he described sanctification. Now, I don't know if any of you has grown up in an old house, but from time to time you'll renovate, you know. You'll make some fixes. You'll change. You'll do the bathroom first, maybe, and then you'll do the kitchen, and it's making that house better. It's making it more useful to us. It's more comfortable. Whatever it might be, those are the kind of things. So moral renovation and growth. And another writer described it this way, progressive disconnect from sin towards righteousness. Well, I think we can understand that, can't we? Progressive disconnect from sin towards righteousness. Sanctification also has some other important uses of the word. It means to sanctify, separate, to set apart, to hallow, to keep, and prepare. And I'll give you a verse that goes with that. Well, actually, there's numerous verses where, for instance, here in Exodus 13:2, it says this, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. Well, what does that mean? The Hebrew word that is translated here, sanctify, for this verse, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. I mean, isn't that little baby just as pure as can be? Well, it is. But this idea is to set apart, to hallow. So sanctification also has that meaning. It's not just about becoming more holy and being purified by the work of God in our lives, but it's about being set apart. And so it comes very close to this, another doctrine that we talk about, the doctrine of separation. You know, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. That's actually another Greek word. It's not sanctify. It's another word, which really means to separate oneself. Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Closely connected here. Separate. We are set apart in Christ. We are to be separated unto. And so this morning, this sanctification, perhaps I could ask you this question. Do you want to be available for the greatest tasks on this earth? Look, there is value in education. I will not put down education. But sanctification, I'm presenting to you that sanctification, drawing nearer to the God of heaven and earth, being more useful to him, prepares us for the greatest task on earth that there is. Young people, do you want to have an opportunity to do great things? It's here. There's an opportunity for all of us. Then allow God and participate in the work of sanctification in your life. And that's what we're going to spend our time exploring as we go along in the sermon here today. But in this sanctification, this renovation project in our lives, you will find, we find peace, we find blessing, you find rest, you find fulfilling work and purpose in life. And above all of that, you will be in direct communication with the greatest force in all of creation, God himself. I believe we'll see that as we go along through Scripture. That is what sanctification is about. It's about bringing us closer. It's about refining us more perfectly. It's about making us more useful. Have I repeated that often enough? Sanctification. Maybe it'll help put it on the board. Sanctification. So we talked about purification. We talked about holiness. Talked about same idea here, but purity. We also talked about to set apart. To hallow and to keep Those are Bible the word's slipping my mind, but Bible definitions of what sanctification means, what the word means, and how it's used in Scripture. Sanctification. I believe, as I understand Scripture, and as I have been reading in preparation for this sermon, is sanctification happens at new birth. And then we're going to go on just a little bit further, and we're going to actually spend a good bit of time looking at sanctification as a process. But I want like to come back, first of all, here to sanctification at new birth. If you have your Bibles open yet, to 1 Corinthians, let's go to chapter 6 and verse 11. Well, let's start at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And already, I'm sorry that I moved you from, but notice these, before we go to another verse, notice these statements that are made here. Sanctified, not sanctification, justified, made just. These are statements, inspired statements, here for us to take in, to receive and understand that in salvation, through the work of Jesus Christ, through the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God, we receive that upon us. And, well, that's a beautiful thing. But I'm sorry that I moved you from our theme verse. Just turn back a page and look at chapter 1 and verse 30 again. Well, actually, you can hardly do that because there's such a continuation of thought here from verse 27 to 30. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Well, what's he saying? Well, the point is that so that no flesh should glory in his presence. God has changed all of the calculations and tabulations and formulations. That's a really big, well, maybe I went too far with that statement. I said all. He has changed so many things about the ceremonial law to bring about Christ. And he has brought in Jesus Christ so that no man could glory in his own presence, but rather of him. But of him are ye, in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And so this teaches us that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. This is teaching us again that God, through Jesus Christ and Christ's finished work, is giving to us, is making him unto us things that we aren't ourselves. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And in the end, I can't say that I did it. Christ did it. God did it through Jesus Christ for me, and I praise God for that. Sanctification at new birth. You could turn with me to Romans. Well, actually, just turn back one more page to verse 2 here. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you. And again, I believe this is teaching us here that this purification, this holiness, and the purity that has been brought upon us through us calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here that we're sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And he continues on with his thoughts there. And also, if you wanted to turn, let's just turn yet to Romans 1. We're thinking about sanctification at new birth. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, talking about receiving grace, I'm sorry, that was to Paul, but called of Jesus Christ. So this thought of those who are called, who have received and reached out by faith and received this blessing of God upon them here, called to be saints, beloved of God. And so, this morning, if you have answered the call of God, this is who you are. Saints, called by God, sanctified, considered, or as one of the commentators said, constituted to be saints, beloved of God, because of your belief of Jesus Christ and acceptance of the plan of God. And some people say that our first work is our faith, and I accept that. I'm not trying to make it sound again. I make the statement, if you have answered the call of God, and so that is a step, that is an outreach from us, and that step of faith, God honors it by bringing this kind of blessing upon us, sanctified, considered to be saints, beloved of God, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so sanctification does come upon us at new birth. How about our Sunday school lesson this morning? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And again, the verses that we've considered this morning, yes, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's a beautiful thing, and God has given us that through Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And so, brothers and sisters, this morning, we don't start from a place of deficit in Christ Jesus. We start from a place of victory in Christ Jesus. And so I connect with that song. Each victory will help you some other to win. And God already begins us at a victorious place. God wants us to work. Well, God wants to work in us to take us from victory to victory. Yes, the flesh we live in, it fights back. We use the word militates against us. It fights back. There is no surprise, and that is no surprise to God. God understands that the work of us growing up in Christ, the work of perfection and holiness, is one that must go on for the rest of our lives. And so this morning I can accept this truth of sanctification, being sanctified by the blood of Christ, by the plan of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. I can accept that and believe that, and also understand that there is more. There is more work to be done. There is more opportunity for relationship. Brother Wynn mentioned that. This thought of this morning in his comments, in his teaching at devotional, he taught us about development of relationship. That's what we're talking about now as we're going forward. We're talking about more. We're talking about deeper. We're talking about less flesh and more of God. more of His Spirit, more righteousness, more holiness, more peace and rest, and more ability to serve God. I think that's what we understand then sanctification as this process, this progressive work, where purification happens, where holiness happens, because there is a work of God through sanctification as a process. And I think that helps me to understand, well, I didn't put down the text properly. Well, maybe one of you can help me with that. Verse 12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Somebody know where that's at? When I grabbed those verses, I missed grabbing. We'll let that rest. The point is, I believe what these verses teach, I like these verses. These verses can trip you up at first glance because you look at them and say, wow, I mean, what am I to do here? Well, yes, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I believe this is very central in this thing of sanctification. There is a work for us to do. There is a persistence. There is an effort that we're going to put forth. There is a heart desire that we're going to cultivate towards God. And so we come to understand, I think, from these verses that God desires to work with man. God does not want to layer something foreign over us. He doesn't just want to cover us with a robe. But rather, I believe, he wants to work with us at the very core of our being, our heart, our mind, our will. He wants to work with us. That's what sanctification as a process is about. It's about taking us further. It's about taking us from victory on to victory. He wants to partner with us and in so doing accomplish his will and good pleasure in our lives. And I think if we went to those verses, we would explore that a little more in the verses surrounding it. But I don't have that text, and I apologize for that. And so, for this to happen, this sanctification of progress, we need to be progressively changed and sanctified. And so how does that happen? We believe that to be true. And I would like to say, I think that's probably one of the, it's a little bit like someone who's studying a subject. Sometimes they feel the more they study, the more they have yet to learn. And for some of us who are a little older, the more sanctification we've experienced, the more sanctification we realize we need. It's like that. And it's not discouraging. It's just that is a fairly common experience, I believe. And so I want to encourage all of us. I want to encourage our young people. This isn't something that it's just a little surge and you get it, it's all taken care of. But no, it's not only just about who we are and how needy we continue to be, but it's about the changing pressures, the changing responsibilities of life bring about unique sanctification processes in our lives. And that's just the way it is. And that's how I understand when a very old brother told me, I just understand today that I need the blood of Christ in my life more than I ever did. And so we can understand that. But that's not a discouraging thing. That is just a relational thing. That's us understanding how much God has allowed us and helped us grow and how much more we can still become by his power. So how does this happen? Sanctification of the process, if you're taking notes, by his word. And the Bible is full of these kind of verses. I just grabbed a few. John 17:17, Jesus in his high priestly prayer said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." If we want to experience this process of sanctification, we need to read the book. We need to read the word of God. We have to soak it up. And I don't know, I come across an account of Jehoshaphat this week, reading in 2 Chronicles, that just was amazing. I'm pretty sure I heard the story before, but it was just amazing to read it. And I actually thought I might preach about it this morning, but I didn't do that. But it was meat to me. It touched my life for that day. And that's what we need. Sanctification as a process is, how's it done? It's by the word of God. Jesus tells us. If we want some purification, you know, if we want some cleaning up, we need to take in the word of truth, which is the word of God. Ephesians 5:6 says this, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And so let's open our books. And yes, I think there's many useful tools that we can use. I think the apps that we use are great. They have helped me. My schedule has some days thrown in it where I get up quite early, and I don't have that time to sit on the couch with my coffee and read like I like to, but I still can read the Word of God and have it read to me is often the way I'll do it, and which still allows me to follow along. But I think that has helped me to maintain what I need, and that is a daily washing of the Word of God. This is a key that we cannot skip. It will impact our lives. We can talk about all the other negative things and other things that we can take into our lives that will impact us. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about whether or not we are pushing in truth that will sanctify us and wash us. There is nothing that can replace the reading of God's book, God's word. This book is a history book. It's a book that tells us about the present, and it also gives us some insight into the future. But it's much more than that. It is the message of God to tell us about himself and what he will accomplish and how he will do it. And so we take in the word of God. And most importantly, it tells us how to enter into relationship with God. And the crowning revelation of this book is Jesus Christ. And that is who we who and how we enter into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so yes, read and read. Find a plan to help you be organized and disciplined. Ask someone to help you with accountability if you need it. But this book will sanctify you. It will perfect you, and it'll make you holy. That's what it'll do. God says it, I believe it, and I've experienced it. Sanctification is a process. How do we do it? It's by his word. We just talked about it. And by Christ. By Jesus Christ. And this is overlaps with thoughts that we've already been saying, but I want to just notice a few more verses. I already noticed 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. We already noticed 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And we have other verses in Ephesians 5, I believe, where it says, let this mind be in you. We are called to be little Christ. And that's where the word Christian comes from. That's what we're called to be. That's who we say that we are. And so we have the blood of Jesus upon us. This is our salvation. And, you know, that little bumper sticker that we don't see anymore, WWJD, you used to see it a lot. Wasn't that sort of amazing as you think about it now, as you think back to that era in time? You'd see, I remember seeing that on cars around town here, WWJD. Do you know what it stands for, young people? None of you 30, 40-year-olds. Anybody want to, you know? Yes? What would Jesus do? Okay, so it's you can follow that. What would Jesus do? Sanctification as a process. How does it happen? It's by Christ. What would Jesus do? We are his children. And he has set an example for us. And so, again, sanctification happens in our hearts when we ask ourselves this question, what would Jesus do? What would his life look like in this situation? And yes, we have to discipline. We have to allow that discipline. See, this is working out your own salvation with fear and trembling is asking ourselves that question. What would Jesus do? It's one of the ways. What would Jesus do? You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. That was Jesus Christ as he walked here on this earth. And so are we willing to allow the love, the investment of Christ into my life, and the perfect example of Jesus Christ sanctify us, to perfect us, to make us be more holy? That is where Jesus Christ... Well, Jesus said this way also, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." He starts out with, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, maybe if I was Brother Leo, I'd walk over here to this corner and I'd bring the big yoke out. But what is a yoke? What really is the purpose of a yoke? None of us have them hanging in our barns. Anybody want to answer that? What is the purpose of a yoke? Maybe it's to pull a piece of equipment. Sure. So I helped you with one answer, but that's not the answer. What is the purpose of a yoke?
For two animals to work together.
That's right. And so we're going to just remove the animals and say for two to work via. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, Jesus is saying. And so, yes, sanctification process, a key to it, is understanding and working in yoke relationship with Jesus Christ. It is where two become one. And obviously, there's elements of Christ that we will never meet to, but taking the words of Jesus, I believe, and applying them to this situation, we can describe it as we just have. We're in the yoke with Christ. Sanctification is a process. And Jesus said, come, don't be afraid of it. I'm meek and lowly, you know. I'm going to work with you. I understand your limitations. And so there it is. All right. I have two more. Sanctification as a process by the Holy Spirit. Again, we find this numerous places. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For some reason, Thessalonians is not jumping out at me here this morning. There it is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 13 through 17. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and work." Sanctification as a process is accomplished by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:2, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. And again, of course, you saw the same phrase here in verse 13. "Chosen you to salvation through sanctification," through purification, and also being set apart by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Romans 8:26, thinking about how the Spirit helps us You know those verses, don't you? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not well what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit of God is a key in sanctification. It is. The Holy Spirit will perfect us. The Holy Spirit is the small voice that packs a big punch. It is that still small voice that packs a big punch. That light that opens the Scripture to us. That power that will prompt us to make a difference by word or deed. And if you look at our statement of faith on the Holy Spirit, we believe in the deity and personality of the Holy Spirit, that he convinces the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Sanctification guides him into all truth, empowers for service, that he indwells and comforts the believer, guides him into all truth, empowers for service, and enables him to live a life of righteousness. That's what we say about the Holy Spirit. The sanctification process, how does it happen? It's by the Holy Spirit. Very key role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will perfect us. The Holy Spirit comforts, it teaches, it guides. But it must be cultivated. It must be cultivated. That's where this work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so we cultivate that. And actually, the Bible teaches us this in a negative sense as well, where in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it tells us, quench not the Spirit. So it is very possible for us to quiet that, to throw a wet blanket across, to put up a wall, to plug our ears to the voice and work of the Holy Spirit. I really think that John 3 tells us that the Holy Spirit's like the wind. You can see its effect, but you can't see it. And there's a historical fact about Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection. We have it in this book. And we can read the words of God, the promises of God. And we believe that God's a creator. We look at this earth. We see that. And so we understand that. But here we see this power, the Holy Spirit. It's hard for us to quantify it, but it is real. The Bible tells us about it. And we're to cultivate that. We're to hear that still small voice. And I believe it is a central key to sanctification. The final point I have, sanctification as a process, is by the assembly. It's by this body. This morning, I believe that there's been some sanctification that's happened in this building this morning. It probably started, I don't know when it started. Forget that. That's a bad. I hope it started in your preparation this morning in coming to church. But it started as we gathered in here and we sat down, as we sang the first songs, as we heard a devotional, as we studied a Sunday school lesson, and perhaps even in this sermon somewhere. There's been some sanctification that's happened. There's been some cleansing, some purification that's happened. And that's what the assembly is about. That's what this body is about. Sanctification is a very personal thing. It happens very close to us. It's deep within us. And it's changes within us that move from the inside out. We take in God's word, we believe, and faith comes alive in our minds and beings. The Spirit of God works in ways that cannot be seen, but God has given us something that is very tangible, and that is this church, the body of Christ. God has given us that. It's an important part. This body is a biblical part of sanctification. We cannot grow alone. That seems like such a big statement, but it is carried out in Scripture time and again. We cannot grow alone. We need the body, the gifts, the challenges, the discipline of body, of the church. We need to serve each other. That's one of the ways in which we grow. We get sanctified by serving each other. It's a key part of sanctification. You know, sanctification isn't all about just looking within. It's about actually a lot of looking up to God. It's, yes, sanctification happens to me when I walk outside of our door at night and I look up and see the stars. I don't know why that is, but for me, that talks to me about God, who's just beyond the veil of what we understand. And so we do need to lift our eyes up. But sanctification, and so yes, it is very personal, but it is, we need to look up and see God, and we need to find these opportunities to serve each other. We need the input of others who are on the same journey as us. And we could go to Ephesians 4, talks about all these different gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come in the unity of faith. Well, that's some of the thoughts that we looked at already this morning. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of Christ. Verses like this leave no doubt. All of us have a part in this. All of us are here to affect the church and its sanctification. And so the question is, are we building up this morning? Are we? Are we part of the sanctification of this body? Is this body going to become a better place because of my presence here, my influence here, and my work here? If you're still in Thessalonians, we'll read a couple verses here just in closing in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verses 14 through 20. Chapter 5. Well, it must be chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Yes, it is. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men, see that you render evil, none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Now, it's a number of very short verses. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I don't know if you saw it in those verses, but it sort of brings together both of these. Sanctification, as a process, and sanctification at new birth, the work of God upon us. And so may God help us this week. May God be glorified as this body and as individuals as we continue to be sanctified and are meet useful for the Master's use. Prospects, tolls for the Master's use because we've become more and more like him. God bless you all, and let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you here this morning at the close of this service, and we thank you, O God, for your love, your care for us. Lord, we thank you that we can come to your word. We can look at your truth. We can look at those things that are eternal, that are sure, that are not moved by the winds of the day. And so we thank you, O God, for salvation. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. And thank you for sanctification, Lord. O God, as I look at my own life, and I'm sure as we look at our own lives together, that we see places again and again and again where we wish to be more perfect, more holy, purified. And so I pray that you'd help us in those areas. I pray that we'd be willing to press forward. But we thank you too, Lord, as we look, yes, even look behind us, and we see those areas in which you have, by your Spirit, And as we have worked with you, as we have co-labored together, we have won victories, we have become free, we've been purified, and there's more holiness in our hearts, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the peace and the joy that comes from sanctification and this relationship with you. And I pray that you'd help us now as we go from this place to follow you more closely, to hear your spirit, and to nurture our lives on your word. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.